C2M. Number 4A.
We stopped in the middle of the main subject of spirit, namely spirit as mind. And we have seen in spirit as mind, it is a question of uniting or wedding ourselves with the mind quality of the male and of female qualities, so that in one individuality we have together, gathered together the all the qualities that constitute men. Now, we come to the next subtone, and usually the spirit subtones gives always a sense of purity, that these qualities have to be kept pure and not be mixed up with its opposite. And our epitome here is spirit of spirit. Worldly qualities do not weigh against divine qualities. The subject of spirit was to wed spiritual qualities. Now these must not be mixed up with material qualities, with worldly qualities, or else they cannot help to elevate humankind. The text reads like this: beauty, wealth, or fame, these indicate the materialistic qualities, is incompetent to meet the demands of the affections. So they should not meet, they should not mingle with the spiritual affection, and should never weigh against the better claims of intellect, goodness, and virtue. So on one side is beauty, wealth, and fame as material affections, and on the other side, really, the better claims of intellect, goodness, and virtue. And these should not be constantly mixed up, so that we have a straight and narrow decision and straight and narrow way. We know where we are going and do not constantly swing between the materialistic affection and the spiritual affection. We must always somehow make a decision what is superior, what is the right way. Happiness is spiritual, born of truth and love. So it is happiness, another quality, spiritual qualities. That's not something that has its root in the human, but is born from God. Must be seen that happiness is only possible if it is derived from truth and love. It is unselfish, therefore it cannot exist alone. Therefore, if it cannot exist alone, it must unite, it must conjoin. And again, you have the tone of principle, that it cannot exist alone. Principle says, that which God has put together, no man should put asunder. So it should not exist alone, but requires all mankind to share it. So this gives a beautiful picture of separating our affections, that we should not mix up materialistic leanings with spiritual affection. The next tone again shows spirit, but then from the subtone of soul, namely that pure qualities may bring a separation from what we have seen, beauty, health, and wealth and fame. They may bring a separation of fleshly ties, but this only serves to lift thought heavenward. And you see the tone of soul in it is that it lifts thought. That soul is always that which lifts up above, that which is supreme over. So first one always has the preposition in mind and says, look here, there are feminine qualities and there are masculine qualities. If you can unite them in one mentality, then that brings a higher humanity. Therefore, you have to see that you are not mixing up these wonderful spiritual qualities with materialistic leanings, and you have to make a separation. If you make a separation, then this may appear for the moment that you lose something, that you lose your the material, the fleshly ties, as she will show, but she says that only serves to the purpose of good, that will only help to go forward and to go higher. So it gives the sense of going higher in soul. And we see that as we read the text. Human affection is not poured forth vainly. You can see at once, again, she goes back to human affection, which is a positive spiritual quality. And that is not poured forth vainly. That's a tone of life that always brings something, that always enriches, even though it meet no return. Love, and that love is a small L, that's not a capitalized term for God. Love enriches the nature, enlarging, purifying, and elevating it. Again, the same tone that spiritual qualities like love has one effect, namely that it brings forth life, it enriches the nature, and it enlarges and elevates it. The wintry blast, now we come back to the materialistic affection, the wintry blasts of earth may uproot the flowers of affection and scatter them to the winds. Can you see, scatter them to the winds is the counterfeit of principle, which always unites all qualities. But this severance of fleshly ties, severance is the breaking of a bond, breaking the unity. And so now she speaks about that severance of the fleshly ties, that's a false unity, a unity with the flesh, serves for one big purpose, namely to unite thought more closely to God. And so it has a positive effect. It is like in the second beatitude, blessed are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Here it is the mourning that we lose our fleshly bonds, that they are severed, shows, but that is progress, that they shall be comforted. Here then we strive even more than before to unite our thought more closely to God, for love supports the struggling heart until it ceases to sigh over the world, until it gives up the world and ceases to sigh of the world and begins, and you get the tone of soul again, and begins to unfold its wings for heaven. You rise above the fleshly ties and the fleshly affection. So it is a nice tone here in the whole of spirit. Always when you have done a whole tone, just sit back and say, now what does it mean in a few words? How would I epitomize it? What does it mean to me? What is its implication for me? And you just try then to see what is the main tone and how that main tone is developed through the subtones, because they all touch problems that each one of us has to deal with, that we encounter in our daily life. There is nothing academic in this chapter on marriage. It's very near to one's own experience, and says, look here, mankind can only be elevated, truth and life, through our unity principle with spiritual qualities, and not through our unity with fleshly qualities. So this is the main tone that says, all right, try to unite as much as you can with all the spiritual qualities you can think of. And so you start out with mind and says, Well, you always start out with thinking, with your mentality, that you can fill our mentality, and my mentality, and your mentality, with spiritual qualities, the feminine mind and the masculine mind, and we have the real mind of man. Then in that mind there are all the qualities that constitute men, are then assembled, are then focused. So we begin to work and say, all right, I try to my best always to wed myself to also to those qualities which I don't have from my education or from my tradition or from my birth. If I have male qualities, then I know definitely and consciously that I have to wed myself also with the feminine qualities, with the feminine mind. And so we begin to see that if they are wedded together, they support each other. And by supporting each other, they bring out a higher tone. By the way, I have given also in the epitome on page 4 as an appendix a statement by Mrs. Eddy, which shows how the male quality nature and the female nature support each other. You can read that for yourself. It's one of the nicest statements that I have found that show how those qualities that constitute the male nature, like scientific understanding, courage, strength, reason, understanding, that really is that which supports then the motherhood, the woman, the female nature. The female nature she depicts here as spiritual inspiration. So if we can support spiritual inspiration with the masculine understanding and reasoning, then that gives a nice combination, that the female nature is full of joy and love and tender emotional nature. If we can give to that really our scientific understanding, then it becomes scientific sentiment and not just emotional sentiment. The female nature, she qualifies here as love, that which cherishes, that which has tender affection, which watches with love. The mother always watches and protects and gives to everything its opportunity to unfold, as always its promise in his heart. And so in this way we really should unite in our consciousness consciously and exercise and practice that within ourselves, that we find that we can express more and more both the female and the masculine mind. Then when we have that mind, the pure mind, then the spirit comes and says, therefore don't let that pure mind be mixed up with materiality, with the material affection, with the material leaning in you. Just keep them nicely separate. And only in this way can it bless us. Then if we do that, then we see in spirit as soul that may take away from us that does not belong to us, that it takes away our leaning to the material, our love for the material, and it may for a moment be as if we would be severed from something and that we lose something. But actually, the text then says, no, this is only for the good. The separation of spirit and matter can only be for a blessing for you, and therefore it will help you not to lean anymore on the material stuff, no more to lean so much on the material kind of substance, but that you lean much more on God, and so unite your thought more closely with God. So that has a blessing itself. And as you do that, you are elevated above the material longings. And so thought is lifted heavenward. That's the whole tone of Saul. Now, again, we can go over the text and see how is the scriptural note brought out in that text. And for yourself, you will just read through the text again and mark those ideas and those renderings and phraseology that indicates principle, like here in principle, which is always the unity. She says the union of masculine and feminine qualities, then different elements are conjoining naturally. Then harmony is in spiritual oneness. You have the tone of oneness, uniting thought more closely to God. Again, a touch of principle. Against the severance of fleshly tie, that's the opposite. And the scattering the affection to the wind, that's again the opposite of principle. Now, if we have that union in principle, then in this subject we have a tone of life, and says if we have that union of and conjoining of the natural elements, then that is enriching us. And we find terms that have the tone of life, like reaching a higher tone, gaining higher qualities, then bringing sweet season of renewal, the renewal of life. Then the affection is not poured forth vainly, it's not in vain, it has an effect. That love enriches the nature, enlarging it, purifying and elevating it, so that we get a lot of indications that every true unity, here the unity of spiritual qualities, has a enriching effect, an elevating effect. What is the effect? The effect here is always something that has to do with man. And we have in that text some renderings that indicate men, namely the nature, the human nature of male and female is brought out better, the masculine and feminine mind that which all mankind can share. So in this way, again, we see the scriptural note reflected or intertwined into that second subject. Can you see what we have to see? We have to see that fundamentally that the chapter tells us about principle, life and truth. This is the fundamental law in the chapter, which says if you unite with the right things, then this has an effect of life. It resurrects you out of the material and human and gives to you, to mankind, a higher tone. You have a better sense of mankind, of humankind. This is the fundamental law. Now, she takes that fundamental law and elaborates it through the seven synonymous terms in order that it gets more color, that we see more the shades and hues of that law. And so here in spirit, she shows that too, shows how the blending of spiritual qualities, this is now spirit, the tone of spirit, that if we blend spiritual qualities and separate ourselves from material affection, that this fact has the effect of principle, life and truth. That it brings us higher and higher and gives a higher sense of the human nature. Yes, it seems very clear and very easy, and especially when we come to the next subject of soul, we cannot help but see how she changes the subject completely, how in soul she is constantly talking about another kind of unity, not the unity now of affection, but the unity of interest. That to see that all mankind has fundamentally the same interest, that not everybody has its own interest and therefore diverges one from the other, that everybody goes along his own way, that we are scattered, but quite to the contrary, that soul has identity and therefore the interest of everybody is identical in spiritual life. So our epitome here reads, spiritual unity in soul. That's our principle, the unity. Now life, that promotes something, that's life. How does it promote something? Namely through the qualities of soul, which are selflessness and unity of interest, and that brings a more happy human relationship. That's truth. So you have principle, unity with soul. We have life that elevates and promotes. And promotes what? Truth. Namely, the happiness of human relationship. Through what qualities? Through the qualities of soul. What are these qualities of soul? They are selflessness and unity of interest. Now, this unity of interest and this selflessness is brought out in the text over and over and over and over, so that nobody can mistake it, that we can actually interpret the text of science and health according to the categories of being. It's so clear that nobody can mistake it and be not seen it. Let's just read down the renderings she has that brings out this unity of interest. Unity of interest is mutuality. If something is mutual, we have the same interest. And just listen to those terms that are here to be found just on two pages, constantly recurring what? Mutual freedom, mutual attention, mutual approbation, mutual compromise, mutual understanding, mutual compromise. Oh, I had that. Then interchange of confidence, and interchange is also based on mutuality of caring and solicitude for each other's happiness. Can you see in just another term, solicitude for each other? That's mutuality again. Each partner sustaining the other, that's again mutuality of interest. Union of interest and affection. She speaks about unselfish care and ambition, about moral freedom, blendings of quality, mingling the qualities so that they are mutual. It's a terrific sense that there is only one interest in being, that's God interest, and that everybody shares that same interest. That this mutuality is compared with its very opposite in human nature. The very opposite is selfishness. That is not mutual. It's selfishness, narrowness, stolid indifference, can you see? It's the very opposite of mutual interest, of jealousy, incompatibility of disposition. These are the very opposites. So we will have to hear through the text how this unity of interest is brought out, and how that unity of interest is principle in soul, and that has as an effect of life and truth, namely that it promotes really a happiness of human relationship, which we all really want to have. So the question now is that we can ask, but how does this unity of interest express itself? That's the question we ask in the epitome book. And the answer is through the five subtones that are characteristic for the fifth day of creation, that has five subtones. And so the very first subtone of mind would show that this unity of interest expresses itself through intercourse with exalting mentalities. Again, she builds mind on mentality. Just as we had before in spirit as mind, it was the feminine mind and the masculine mind. It always all starts with mind and with mentality. So here we have that this mutuality of interest is mutuality of mind, of thinking, the motives of civilization, so that we have here the mentalities that are uniting, and the moment we unite with same interest and mentalities, we help each other, we support each other, it is a dissemination of thought that is promoting our thinking. So she says here, in that paragraph, she says, marriage is unblessed or blessed according to the disappointment it involves or the hopes it fulfills. Namely, to happify existence by constant intercourse with those adapted to elevate it should be the motive of society. So she shows that we should have the interest to have a relationship with those who have higher mentalities and have can adapt or can elevate our thinking and our thought, that would be really the motive of society. So unity of spirit, again we have the unity of spirit as principle, gives new opinions. So it gives new opinions, that's life, to joy, or else joy's drooping wings trail in dust. So the tone is here, we can elevate society and the motive of society if those who have higher interests, who have higher thoughts, have higher ideals, that they unite and that they have interchange of interest and interchange of thinking and association of thought, so that to lift it higher. So the main point is actually on mind, on those motives of society to have higher interest in thinking.